Crazy Grandpa's Ridiculous Stories for Kids. Episode 4. Oh my God, they're humanitarians. As they walked through the yard in front of the house, Bubba the Basset Hound smelled something new.
Woof, woof, he barked. Mmm, it smells like roses. My owner's bought new baby wipes. I can hardly wait to sniff little Ronnie's bottom.
Curie the hamster was sitting on Bubba's back, and she said,
I can't smell anything, and I don't want my nose in a baby's diaper, thank you very much.
Vicky sniffed approvingly.
Yes, the roses are very nice.
She was a small white and furry dog. Vicky looked up at Bubba as she spoke, peering through the hair that hung over her eyes.
If only all humans used baby wipes, they would smell so nice.
Bubba said, Mm-hmm. They'd get to know each other much better if they used their noses more. I don't see why they shake hands all the time. I mean, Prince Charming would have found Cinderella a lot faster if he had just smelled everyone's butts instead of having them try on all those slippers.
As Bubba and Vicky nodded in agreement, Bubba's owners, the Parkers, drove into the driveway with their daughter Jenny, who was 8 years old and was coming back from skating lessons. Jenny and her mother Susan unloaded the car while her father rushed to the backyard. He called back,
I'll get the barbecue and the food ready. The neighbors are coming in an hour.
Curie said,
He said neighbors. It must be the new neighbors.
Bubba said, Mm-hmm. My owners are inviting lots of the neighborhood to our backyard for a potluck and barbecue dinner.
He licked his lips hungrily and said,
I hope there are lots of kids dropping food.
Curie asked,
I wonder what they're like.
Bubba said,
Well, they're small, they play a lot, and they like to give food to their pets if their parents will let them.
Curie said,
Not the kids, the new neighbors.
Oh, Bubba said.
Vicky said, I hope they're nice.
Bubba said,
Me too.
While they were waiting for the barbecue, Curie, Bubba, and Vicky roamed through the yards of the houses nearby, playing with any children they saw. They sat for a minute and saw a large black cat walking across the street towards one of the houses. It did not seem to see them.
Bubba whispered, Look, it's Palpatine. He's walking towards us. Quiet!
Palpatine often wandered the neighborhood, but no one knew where he lived, and there had been some ugly stories about what happened to other animals that crossed him. Why, Bubba himself had heard from a dog he knew down the street, who had heard from a dog one street over, who had heard from a lizard in the yard next door, who had overheard a parrot say that black cats were no good. Well, with this kind of reputation, it was no surprise that the other animals of the neighborhood kept their distance.
Bubba said, I wonder what Palpatine is up to.
Vicky replied,
I don't know. Maybe we should watch him just in case.
Up the street drove a truck with a picture on the side of a muscular man lifting barbells and the words, He-Man, Move It Yourself Trucking.
Bubba asked, What is that?
Curie said,
I think it's a moving van bringing the furniture to the new neighbor's house.
Oh, exclaimed Vicky.
I wonder if they'll let me lay on the couch or on one of the comfy chairs, asked Bubba.
Another car drove up the street and parked a few houses away. Two people were in the car, and they seemed to be looking towards Palpatine.
Vicky said, Those two men aren't getting out of their car. What do you think they're looking at?
Curie said,
Maybe they're undercover police investigating Palpatine. Maybe he's the leader of a crime gang and is terrorizing the neighbors to keep them quiet.
Vicky and Bubba gasped.
Vicky said, If you're right, we should go and listen to what they're talking about.
Vicky, Curie, and Bubba trotted through the bushes near the houses and then crept across the grass until they were almost right underneath the open windows of the car. They heard one of the men say,
Heh heh, I told you this was a good plan. A big moving van means lots of stuff, and the people are so busy that they don't pay attention to their stuff.
The other said, This'll be an easy score. No one will be able to say that Fred and Barney are dummies.
Yeah, but now quiet and watch.
Curie, Bubba, and Vicky looked at one another confused. They crept back to the bushes.
Bubba whispered, What did that all mean?
Curie whispered back,
I don't know, but just like they said, let's be quiet and watch.
An hour later, Curie, Bubba, and Vicky were happily playing with the neighborhood children in the Parkers' big backyard, while the parents talked and introduced themselves to the new neighbors, the Muellers. Bubba looked across the yard and saw some of the parents giving the smaller children plates of food. Bubba's bark turned almost into a scream.
Food! The kids are starting to eat! Quick, quick! They may drop some! They may even give us some!
Bubba ran frantically to the children. Curie bounced and rolled on Bubba's back. She tried to hold on, but fell off halfway there. Vicky followed more carefully. Bubba stuffed his nose into the chest of a toddler, sniffing and whining. The toddler looked at him with interest and tilted her plate to him. Bubba gobbled up everything in seconds, even the vegetables, which he didn't like.
Bubba! Mrs. Parker yelled. Get away from there! Oh, Sarah, I'm so sorry, sweetie. He ate all your food.
Little Sarah did not seem worried at all about the food, but she watched as Mrs. Parker grabbed Bubba's collar, pulled him away, and attached his collar to a rope on the fence. Mrs. Parker said,
I hate to tie you up, Bubba, but you have to stay here until all the kids have eaten. Dogs shouldn't eat people food.
Bubba tugged on the rope and howled,
So much food, so close.
Vicky and Curie walked over to Bubba.
Help, help, he barked as loud as he could. Dog abuse! Call the SPCA! Call the Humane Society! They're starving me! They're torturing me! Help!
Curie looked at him with a sour face.
You're not starving, you're just a pig. I wouldn't want you next to my dinner either.
They spent the next few minutes trying to calm Bubba down. Vicky suggested breathing exercises. Curie suggested whacking him with a brick. Bubba finally relaxed when Mrs. Parker brought over a dish of dog food for him, with a little hamburger crumbled in. She also brought some for Vicky and handed Curie a piece of carrot. They munched on their meals while the Parkers and the Gonzaleses talked to the Muellers. The pets could hear the conversation, but Bubba and Vicky could only understand the little words. Curie could understand everything, or rather, said she could. She told them what she heard.
Barbecue pit? Dinner choices? Hamburgers, fish, vegetarian.
Vicky asked, what's vegetarian?
Curie answered, vegetarians are people who only eat vegetables. They don't eat meat.
Bubba said sadly,
I'm almost a vegetarian. I only got a little hamburger with my dog food.
Curie said,
don't be an idiot. Your dog food is made from meat and bone meal with organ meats and grain-based fillers mixed in.
Bubba said, huh? What do all those words mean? I thought it was just dog food.
Curie said,
never mind, dog food is mostly meat.
Bubba said, oh.
Vicky asked, what else are they saying?
Curie replied,
this conversation is trickier. You're lucky you have me here. Let's see, the Muellers were in the Peace Corps. Something about food aid. Money to charity. Humanitarian causes.
Curie stopped and turned to Vicky and Bubba, her eyes wide. She said,
oh my God, they're humanitarians!
Vicky and Bubba yelled together,
what's that?
Curie said, humanitarians, don't you understand? Vegetarians eat vegetables, so what do humanitarians eat?
Bubba looked at her blankly.
Hummus?
Curie screamed, no, not hummus, humans! The Muellers eat humans, people, they're cannibals. Call the governor, call the president, petition King George.
Bubba and Vicky looked at her in horror. They yelled,
people, oh no.
Bubba said,
was my hamburger one of the neighbors?
While the pets shrieked and cried, Jenny came out of the back door with her sleeping bag in a roll, with a little bag of clothes. She talked excitedly with the Muellers' daughter Roxanne and the Gonzaleses' daughter Kathy. They all started walking in the direction of the Muellers' house. Curie shrieked,
look, Jenny has a sleeping bag.
Her voice dropped to a horrified whisper.
I think she's going to a sleepover at the Muellers'.
Vicky, Curie, and Bubba all shrieked. The people in the yard looked over at them curiously. The pets quickly shut their mouths, and the people resumed talking.
Vicky said more quietly, Jenny is going to be eaten. Don't Mr. and Mrs. Parker realize what's going to happen? How can they let her go over to a house filled with humanitarians? We have to save her.
Bubba said, We should go see Kojak. He's a police dog. He'll help us.
Curie considered.
I'm not so sure. He never believes what I tell him, even when I have proof.
Bubba said, But if we don't get help and then Jenny...
Vicky said, Bubba's right. We need help. Jenny and Kathy must be rescued.
Curie reluctantly agreed and said,
Oh, all right. We'll ask. But don't say I didn't warn you if he doesn't believe us. Bubba, start howling so your owners will untie you.
Bubba dutifully started howling and pulling on his rope. After a minute or so, Mrs. Parker came over to Bubba and untied him. She said,
Bubba, okay, I'll let you go, but you stay away from the food.
Right now, food was the last thing on Bubba's mind. They had to save Jenny.
Curie said, Everybody look casual. Don't let the Muellers think we know that they're cannibals. Quick now.
Bubba, Vicky, and Curie trotted past the Muellers. Vicky wagged her tail, to which Curie whispered,
Tail wagging, nice touch, they'll never guess anything.
Bubba tried to wag his tail too, but he was so scared that he shook his butt instead and nearly threw Curie off his back. Curie hissed at Bubba furiously. The Muellers didn't seem to notice. The pets continued walking, escaped from the backyard, and ran to find Kojak. Kojak was a German shepherd and a retired police dog. He kept a close eye on the neighborhood so that no criminals would cause trouble. Kojak saw Curie, Bubba, and Vicky hurrying up with worried looks on their faces.
What's happening? He asked with concern.
As usual, Curie took charge and explained everything they had overheard at the neighborhood barbecue. Kojak listened, but Curie wasn't sure that he believed her. Kojak said,
This isn't like the time you thought the Johnson's Jindo puppy was a North Korean spy, is it?
Curie said, Hey, if he had been burying atom bombs in the backyard, you'd have thanked me.
Kojak continued,
What about the time you tried to cancel Halloween because you thought the trick-or-treaters would scare away the moon?
Curie interrupted,
Look, this time the logic is infallible. Vegetarians eat vegetables. Humanitarians eat humans. You would want to be rescued too if a bunch of Germanitarians moved in down the street. Why, if one humanitarian lives in the neighborhood, others might follow. If we don't act now, then by this time next year, the neighborhood could be full of humanitarians.
Kojak replied, Well, I suppose it wouldn't hurt to investigate a bit.
Bubba and Vicky said, So what are we going to do? Kojak said,
I think we should split up and find out what is happening at the Muellers' place. But remember, don't jump to conclusions.
He looked sternly at Curie for a moment. We haven't seen the Muellers do anything wrong yet, but be careful. I have years of police dog experience, but I can't ever remember a case with a young suburban family of cannibals. We'll have to gather lots of evidence. Curie whispered secretly,
Kojak and I will go first and follow the Muellers and the girls. Vicky and Bubba, find a good hiding place and keep an eye on the neighborhood and the Muellers' place. If you see anything out of the ordinary, find us and let us know. If we're not back in 10 minutes, then assume the worst. We've probably been eaten.
Kojak frowned at Curie, but she continued.
If we're captured, you'll have to save Jenny and Kathy yourselves.
Vicky's eyes filled with tears, and Bubba whimpered, but they both nodded. Kojak trotted off with Curie riding on his head. The sun was setting and the day was ending. Bubba and Vicky walked through the nearby front yards, getting closer and closer to the Muellers' house. They hid in a space underneath a large bush across the street.
Vicky said, I don't think anyone noticed us. Jenny must be with the other girls. Let's stay here until the Muellers come home.
Much to Bubba and Vicky's surprise, they were not the only ones hiding in the bushes. There was a man just on the other side of the yard.
And another man ran out of the Muellers' garage across the street towards the man in the bushes. These were the same people they had overheard in the parked car earlier. The men didn't seem to notice Bubba and Vicky.
Vicky whispered to Bubba,
What are they doing here? Maybe Curie was wrong about Palpatine being a crime lord. Maybe those two people from the car are investigating the Muellers for being humanitarians.
Bubba nodded. They both listened carefully. The man who had run said,
I stole the keys to the moving van. You were right, Fred. He'd left them right on the workbench.
Fred whispered excitedly,
Good job, Barney. When everyone is inside and quiet, I'll drive off with the van, and with luck, no one will even know it is missing until we've cleared up.
Barney said,
Okay, but we have to wait. Those girls are still in the backyard, and it sounds like one of the neighbors is coming over.
Fred said,
Yeah, we have to be sure that everyone is in the kitchen or in the TV room. I don't want anybody surprising me out front.
Fred and Barney crept back to their car, but didn't drive off. Vicky and Bubba looked at each other. These men didn't seem to be police at all. The two dogs weren't sure what was going on, but they didn't think it had anything to do with Palpatine or humanitarians. Now they had another thing to worry about. It was getting dark when Curie and Kojak crept towards the Mueller's house. They saw Mr. and Mrs. Mueller talking. Mrs. Mueller said, So I think that Jenny's parents want to come over for a few minutes too. It would be good to make them welcome, so I invited them over.
Mr. Mueller replied, Great, I can show them one of our humanitarian videos.
Mrs. Mueller said,
No, you can pester them with those some other time. I think they just want to get to know us better since Jenny is spending the night.
Mr. Mueller looked disappointed, but said, Okay, yes, you're right. I guess every parent just wants peace of mind about their children.
Curie whispered to Kojak, Humanitarian videos! And they want pieces of mind! This is worse than I thought! They're going to eat their brains! It'll be a zombie apocalypse!
Kojak added, That's very unhygienic, too. It could spread prion diseases.
Curie and Kojak slunk quietly around to the Mueller's backyard, which was surrounded by a short wooden fence. They could hear music. Kojak reared up on his hind legs and peeked over the fence. Curie climbed on top of his head so that she could see too. Kojak said,
Look, the girls are dancing in the backyard.
The girls had microphones and were wearing rock star outfits. Kojak said,
Let's wait here.
Curie and Kojak watched for about 10 minutes when Mrs. Mueller called out of the glass back door of the house.
Roxanne, Kathy, Jenny, come inside. We're making some treats.
Curie looked horrified, and she whispered to Kojak,
Treats? Oh no!
Mrs. Mueller continued, And then we're going to watch a video.
Curie said, More videos? That sounds mighty suspicious. Indoctrination. Maybe they're trying to convert them to a new religion. I'll bet they're devil worshippers. Humanitarian devil worshippers. It all makes sense. How can you doubt me now?
Kojak tried to look up at Curie, who was on his head, but he couldn't. He said,
Look, let's just stick to what we have seen. We can't be sure that they're cannibals or devil worshippers yet. Crawl under the fence, go over to the window, and find out what their treats are made out of.
Curie looked scared.
How do I know they won't eat me?
Kojak said,
Look, if you're right, then they're humanitarians, not hamsteritarians. Besides, they'll never know you're there. You'll be perfectly safe.
Curie nodded and jumped down from Kojak's back. She wiggled under the fence and darted across the yard. Kojak saw her look through the sliding glass door. She watched for a few minutes and then came rushing back. She was breathing very fast and said,
It was awful! Blood was everywhere, thick and red, and the girls drank it. They might be vampires by now.
Kojak said, What? What? Now wait, step by step, tell me what you saw.
Curie tried to calm herself and said,
Okay. There was this container of white creamy stuff that they scooped out into a giant cup. Then they added lots of little bloody chunks of people into it. Then they pushed this button and it whirled and whirled until it was all red and gross. Then they poured it into cups and the girls drank it. Jenny was even smiling too. I think it's too late. She must be a devil-worshipping humanitarian zombie vampire now.
Kojak asked,
Wait, how do you know it was chunks of people that they added?
Curie said,
Well, they took these red chunks out of a green basket and chopped off the tops and then added them.
Kojak asked,
Were the tops green?
Curie said,
Yes, how did you know?
She looked at Kojak suspiciously. Kojak said,
Because it sounds like they were eating strawberries and vanilla ice cream.
But Curie didn't hear him because at that moment, the glass door to the backyard slid open, and Jenny, Kathy, and Roxanne came out. Their lips and mouths were covered in red. Roxanne said,
"Look, it's another dog and that hamster from your backyard."
Jenny and Kathy said together,
"That's Kojak and Curie."
Roxanne said,
"Let's invite them over here to have some treats."
Curie heard these last words, then screamed in terror and fainted. She fell off Kojak's head onto the grass. A few minutes later, across the street, Vicky said,
"Curie and Kojak have been gone for way more than 10 minutes, and they're not back."
"Does that mean they've been eaten?" Bubba asked.
Vicky said, "I think it means it's up to us to rescue everyone."
Bubba gulped, but nodded and said,
"Then let's go."
Bubba and Vicky crept towards the Mueller's house in the near darkness, but their sense of smell was so good that they barely noticed the dark. They walked slowly around the house until they came to a large glass door facing out into the backyard. Light flooded from inside the house and they looked inside. They saw Jenny, Kathy, Roxanne, Mr. and Mrs. Parker, and Mr. Mueller watching a video on a large TV attached to one wall of the room. Mr. Mueller waved his hands and seemed to be speaking excitedly. The TV was showing video clips of Mr. and Mrs. Mueller. They were working in villages with poor children. Vicky gasped. She said,
"Oh no, did the Muellers eat those children?"
Bubba added,
"Those children are so thin. They'd find a lot fatter kids just by raiding the local McDonald's."
Vicky said,
"These humanitarians, who knows how they think?"
Just then, Mrs. Mueller walked into the room with two bowls of snacks. Vicky and Bubba didn't see any heads or arms or feet or any other body parts in the bowl. And then Kojak followed her with Curie on his head. Vicky and Bubba yelled together,
"They're alive!"
Bubba said, "Wait a minute, what's going on?"
Bubba and Vicky ran forward to the glass door. Everyone in the room turned to look at them. Roxanne slid open the door, and Curie ran over to say,
Glad you're here. Well, I might have slightly misinterpreted the Mueller's specific use of the word humanitarian."
Bubba and Vicky looked confused, so Kojak added,
"Humanitarians help people. They don't eat them."
Bubba and Vicky were very happy that no one had been eaten. Kathy, Jenny, and Roxanne petted Bubba and Vicky, and Bubba was about to roll over to have his belly scratched when he heard the deep growl of a truck motor through the open back door. An idea popped into Bubba's head. He knew now why those two men were looking at the Mueller's house. They weren't police. They were thieves trying to steal the Mueller's stuff. They were driving off in the moving van.
Bubba howled, "The two men! They're stealing the Mueller's stuff!"
Curie and Vicky understood. Curie called out to Kojak, who had no idea what Bubba was howling about,
"Thieves! Let's get 'em!"
The four animals ran out of the back door and around the house. The He-Man Movers truck was pulling out of the driveway, and one of the two men was running across the street to get in. Kojak ran as fast as he could and tackled the man. The man driving the truck was named Fred, and he yelled,
"Barney, get in!"
Barney yelled back,
"I can't! This monster won't let me get up!"
Kojak stood on top of Barney and growled viciously. Kojak called to Curie, Bubba, and Vicky.
"I'll keep this dummy down. You get the other."
Fred said,
"Barney, I'm going!"
and started to drive off. Curie, Bubba, and Vicky leapt onto the truck. Fred picked up his cell phone and said,
"Mr. Brown, I have the truck. I'm bringing it in."
There was a short pause.
"No, Barney isn't here. He was attacked by a police dog."
Another pause.
"No, there are no police, just a bunch of dumb animals."
Curie saw what was happening in the truck and screamed,
"He's using his cell phone! Distracted driving! I'll get him!"
She leapt through the open window into the cab of the truck. She jumped onto Fred and started biting his ear. She yelled,
"Pay attention while you're driving, moron!"
Fred screamed into his phone,
"Mr. Brown, help! I'm being attacked by a hamster!"
"What? But I'm not wimpy, Mr. Brown. It's really ferocious."
They drove on as Fred tried to swat Curie away. Bubba and Vicky climbed in through the window, too. They bared their teeth and growled at Fred. Fred gave up and yelled,
"I'm getting out of here!"
And he opened the door and jumped out.
Curie, Bubba, and Vicky celebrated. We stopped them! But then Vicky looked out of the window and screamed,
Ah! The truck is going down a hill! We're gonna crash!
Curie took charge and said, Bubba, grab the steering wheel! Vicky, press the brake! I'll stay on the dashboard and tell you what to do! Bubba grabbed the steering wheel, but Vicky screamed,
Which one is the brake?
Curie said,
Push the one on the left!
The truck suddenly zoomed down the hill.
No, no, the other left, Curie yelled.
They whipped past a police car. The policewoman inside asked her partner,
Was that a hamster and a dog driving that truck?
Her partner nodded,
Yeah, what's going on?
They took off after the truck with their lights flashing and their siren blaring. The policeman in the passenger seat called out through a megaphone,
Pull over! Hamsters are not allowed to drive motor vehicles!
Curie shouted in rage.
Discrimination! Intolerance! Why, I bet I drive better than they do!
The truck narrowly missed two bicyclists, who had to veer off the road and crashed into a fruit stand full of watermelons, which rolled downhill on the street. Vicky finally found the brake and the truck began to slow down. Bubba steered it straight under Curie's instructions, and it stopped perfectly at a red light. As the police approached the truck, Curie glared at them triumphantly, stuck out her tongue and said, By late the next morning, Fred, Barney, and Mr. Brown had been captured by the police and were sitting in the city jail until their trial. The police explained that this trio of thieves had been preying on families that were moving to new cities for more than a month, but the police had too few clues to track down any suspects. The police, the city, and the Muellers were so thankful to Curie, Bubba, Vicky, and Kojak that they awarded them medals as honorary humanitarians. All four of them wore their medals proudly at the next neighborhood barbecue. The end.